We have a lot of women right now, as we are talking, that are struggling with that decision to say, how do I leave? And they know they're living in that situation where they're being abused, and they know that they're being abused or feeling trapped. Like you said, you were feeling trapped now because now you're in this relationship and you have children. What can you tell them about gaining the strength on, you know, to get out or to leave in a safe way?
First of all, it's very heartbreaking to actually say these statistics, that as we speak now, myself and yourself on this interview, one in four women, as we speak now, is affected by domestic violence. And it's so heartbreaking to know that what happened to me all those years ago is still as real as it was back then in my life. So it's survivor like ourselves that need to continue to keep shouting and talking, because I know what it's like not to know where to go, not to know who do you go to. What I can say to that person who's tuned in right now and you are going through domestic violence, I want to say to you, you are stronger than you think. You have what it takes to actually get up, get hold of somebody. There is help out there.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stem Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
Against all odds, still standing. The questions that we're going to answer today are, how does one still stand against all odds? How does one find the courage to be of service despite their own childhood fears, tears, and losses? And thirdly, how does one gain the strength to leave an abusive relationship and find themselves in a place like they have never dreamt before? Jesus Christ didn't just talk. He modeled what the give way of life is all about. When he saw others in need, he helped. When he saw suffering, he healed. When he saw ignorance, he taught. When he saw people abused, he defended them. He comforted, he prayed for, he cared for people, even his enemies. Humanity desperately needs people who just don't talk the talk, but walk the walk. I have one such disciple with me today on this podcast, and her name is Mrs. Fikelepi Jackson. She's not just talking the talk. She just didn't live the life, but she's also walking the walk. She is the author and founder of a thriving nonprofit organization, and I might say an upcoming empire, titled Against All Odds, Still Standing in the United Kingdom. Welcome to the show, Mrs. Jackson.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Stem. My goodness, what an introduction. Thank you so much for having me here.
It could go on and on, and I think the whole hour of the show could just be an introduction of the work that you have done, of the person that you are, woman of God. So I am so excited to have you on the show and to be able to talk about your heart and see this work that you're doing in the United Kingdom. So thank you for making that time today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's much appreciated. Yes.
So, I think that the first question, because we have this event that's upcoming and everybody is buzzing on all social media, on radio, TV in the United Kingdom and all over the world, especially for us, you know, in the African, you know, continent. And that's your event, Against All Odds, that's coming up in April. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that event that's coming up, Ms. Jackson.
Well, Dare to Dream, Dare to Fly is our annual event.
Yes.
This is actually our anniversary. And this year is very significant in the sense that it's our fifth year. Wow, Dare to Dream, Dare to Fly Against All Odds Gala Dinner. We started this 5 years ago when we actually launched the charity Against All Odds Still Standing. It's an event that we actually believe that all things are possible.
Yes.
So each year we have a theme of what we are about. So this year, as we were deliberating 12 months ago with the team,
yes,
we knew what God had told us to do this year. And I remember asking all our teams in Malawi, Zambia, and so I asked them, I said, look guys, this is the vision for this year. Let's come up with phrases. What is the, you know, things came through, and one of our operations manager in Malawi said, "Well, love is not love unless you give it away." And then another one said, "Well, can we change the statistics? Can we give this love by changing what is happening in Malawi, in Zambia, in Zimbabwe? Can we do it?" So the answer was, yes, we can. So this year, our theme is, yes, we can. Now, just to give you one statistic, in Malawi, one against six boys in Malawi, one girl against six boys will go on to graduate in high school, which is form four. So that's one in six. So six boys will go through, but only one girl will go through against the boys. So that's a really, really shocking statistics. So can we change those statistics? Yes, we can, but we can't do it alone. So Dare to Dream, Dare to Fly, we are daring to say, to come out there to say, look, we've talked so much, we have prayed so much, we've fasted so much in churches. Now we are saying talk is cheap. Let's do, you know, let's give this love away. Let's come out and all hands on deck. But we do it in a very special way because we have our guests coming in all dressed in their long dresses. It's a black tie event. We have a lot of entertainment. We have poetry and, you know, all for a very small price. We always try and keep the price down because it's only £45 for a three-course meal and above. But this is the opportunity for the people in diaspora to actually say, well, can we help in Africa? Just one girl, one woman? Yes, we can. Two, three, four, five? Yes, we can. So that's what our Dare to Dream, Dare to Fly is about.
And let me just remind all those that are listening that, you know, even though the price is low, the whole, you know, purpose of this gala is to raise funds in order to help, you know, the students that are in Africa in those three countries that you just mentioned, right? Malawi, Zimbabwe, and Zambia is where you
That's
are.
Correct.
Yes.
That's correct. Yes. Yes.
So it is a fundraising. So once you pay that small fee and you go in your gowns and everything, just remember to have a check that you can donate. That way they can do the work. So talk to me. I saw a lot of pictures. I know you went to Malawi this year, right? Where was the mission?
Yes. Yes, we did. Yes.
How was that trip?
Well, if it might help your listeners. Obviously, it will help for them to know about what we're about to say. It will make a lot of sense if they know what we stand for.
Yes.
So Against All Odds are Still Standing, birthed following the launch of my book, obviously, Against All Odds Are Survived. So this is what we stand to do. We are here to rebuild lives, to restore hope, to restore dignity. And we do that through education, social development, and health. So for the past 4 years, we have projects in Malawi where we have students that we pay school fees for. So what happens is we believe that nowadays people are tired of just giving, not knowing who this person is, where the student is. So we go in person to meet our beneficiaries, to see how they are, which village they live in, what challenges are they facing, and how can we help. So we only see them once a year. That is both our women and our girls. So, but during the year, whilst we are not there, we have a team on the ground that actually goes once a term to visit our students and our women to see how everybody is doing. So how these our visits happen is when we fundraise, we raise money for the school fees and for the Women's Empowerment Center. So the funds go directly to the schools. So our team on the ground, quarterly, they go to find out, have you received the school fees? How are our students? Nobody has fallen pregnant or dropped out or, you know, whatever the situation. If there is any trouble, then the team intervenes and inform us here. They write a report to say all is well, the students are doing well, or if there's any challenges. So with that now, I felt it was important to give your listeners a background of why we, so we don't just dive in into talking about what we did. Sure. So this last year was the most challenging, but it was the most successful. Mm. I cannot express, it was the first year I think we were able to provide for our students from school shoes, sanitary pads, uniforms, you know, our school fees, of course, and everything that pertains their education. So it was very hugely successful on that front.
Wow. You know, because I have seen, you know, like videos and everything that you have shown there. The reason why I wanted you to come on America Out Loud and do this interview with me is, you know, you are an icon, you know, to the women from Africa that know you, that have watched you and watched you blossom. And what I wanted to do, because this show is about encouragement, empowerment, and inspiration, was to get down to the nitty-gritty of who you truly are, so that, you know, the other ladies that are still back in Africa, that are, you know, out in the diaspora from, you know, the African continents, can get strength and gain strength from your life story and knowing who you are. So, if I may, I just wanted to take you back a little bit, you know, from the time when you started. And these will be questions that any other kid or a little girl would say, I want to know this about you, so that we can, you know, they can be empowered and encouraged to know that, you know what, if it happened to you, it can happen to them as well. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'm really, truly humbled that you use the word icon. I'm like, what? I'm humbled. Thank you very much.
So this segment, you know, I know your theme for Against All Odds is Yes, We Can. And this segment, we're going to, you know, call this segment Yes, You Can. So that, you know, for every mother, wife, woman out there that is one, you know, in six that is going to be graduating, we are going to have six out of six women, you know, six men, six women. We're going to equal the ratio. But this is how you do it. So let's talk to Mrs. Jackson and figure out, how did she get from that little girl to now being this gorgeous, beautiful, confident woman that she is? And congratulations, by the way. I heard that BBC interview that you did. That was awesome. I listened to it.
Do you know what? I'm still in shock that the BBC had me in their studios. And what's shocking is that they say they didn't have a chance to advertise that particular show, but then they are shocked, they're overwhelming, and they're like, we need you to come back, because
it has a lot of hits. So I know, so let's get back to the time you were born in Zimbabwe, right?
That's right. That's
Yeah.
right. You know what? I was born in a small village. I won't tell you where, but it was one of those villages that was very remote. I mean, if you needed to see civilization, you needed to walk so many kilometers to go where the tarred road is, so where you can see those buses coming to deliver the package, which will have bread and, you know, things from the city.
Yeah.
So where I was born, nobody went there. It was so remote that seriously, nobody went there. So Fikile P. Jackson is that little girl who was born. And a lot of sadness around my birth and my childhood, because my father had just died whilst my mother was 7 months expecting me. So upon my birth, my mother, as soon as she gave birth to me, I was still a baby. She left me with my grandmother and took all my siblings to Bulawayo, where she obviously, as a widow, obviously, when I was growing up, I didn't know why she left me. So Fikile P. Jackson is growing up thinking, well, mommy must have hated so much. She hated me so much. And she must have really, you know, not liked me, because she took all my brothers and sisters and she left me with my grandmother. So I didn't understand why I was, my grandmother was there. Every little girl had mom, dad, and then grandmother. So me, it was me, my grandmother, and I. And this thing was really, as I grew up, I just had this feeling that I was an outcast. Until as I became a teenager, I asked my my grandmother, why is my mom not here? Where is my dad? And she sat me down. She told me that my dad died fighting for freedom. He was locked up in jail during apartheid. And I thought, wow, this freedom must be so important that my dad has to die for it. So you know what, now that he's dead, he didn't finish the work, not to worry, I will finish it off. So that's when my journey started of trying to tackle what was happening in Zimbabwe. Then during Smith's regime, that's when I became a chair lady in my village for the youth, or for, should I say children, because we're really children. So as youth, we obviously started making all the noises, and before you know it, it was very apparent that there was a group of young people that was causing havoc. And for us, it was our little way of saying, we too, we want freedom. You know, this freedom is so important, you know. But then I knew that the last thing I wanted was to be in prison like my dad, because I knew that once you did, you cried freedom, you know, somebody's gonna put handcuffs on you and they're gonna take you away and lock you away, and when you come back, you will die. So I thought, no way. So, you know, obviously things progress. So Fikile P tries to follow this journey to say of liberating or bringing about freedom. But during that, it's another milestone. But to make things easier for your listeners, it might help for them to just lay their hand on my book, because the whole journey of that aspect of my childhood is all encapsulated or captured in the book Against All Odds, I Survived, which is on Amazon. And I think they can get it in Lulu if they're in the US.
So that part, that part, and I'll have all the information about the book on, you know, I mean, on this podcast, because I always have your whole history and all the links to the book and the links to register for those that are in the UK, for them to register for Against All Odds, and also for them to donate. And I'll have all those links, you know, out there. So the other question that I have, what I want to know is, in high school, did you have a best friend in high school?
Do you know, I had a best friend, and we lost touch. touch. I really wish I could see and meet my best friend. My best friend, their name was called Joy Lolo. She was such adorable. We prayed together. We shared the dormitory. We used to talk a lot. But I guess the only difference between me and her was that she wasn't one of those outcast children, because she didn't go to war or anything, because the whole journey of the whole thing is that when ceasefire happened in Zimbabwe, I just thought, well, I want to go back to school. You know, I really wanted to go back to school, but I didn't know how. But thankfully, we got a scholarship through the United Nations. Do you know what? So we were all placed, because it was so many of us. So schools were just writing to say, well, we'll take 10 of those students, but we were kind of troublesome, because you would imagine we had spent a few years away from home. Mm-hmm. During that time, there was a lot of frustration going on. Some people lost their parents during the war. Some people, you know, it was all lots of different emotions going on in there. So we were known to be troublesome. So for some of us, all I wanted was education. But this best friend, my best friend, she saw me for who I was. So she didn't see me as a strange person. Okay. So which I really appreciated.
So I asked that question because then a lot of, as you know, I work with a lot of teenagers. So then one of the things is they think they're going to be in touch with their high school friends, and then, but life happens and you lose touch. And sometimes, you know, that has to be ingrained in their heads when they hear somebody saying, oh, we're not in touch anymore, to say it's not the end of the world. So
yeah.
Did you have a favorite teacher that you wanted, and what did you learn from that teacher?
Oh, you know what? I had my favorite teacher was this wonderful lady teacher. She was my cookery teacher, and I did fashion and fabrics. So she taught me those two subjects. So in her, I guess it was that because I grew up with my grandmother. So it was like having this mother figure, like not a grandmother figure, as it were. Don't get me wrong, but it was so nice to learn how to cook and how the different kinds of fabrics, you know, the clothes, how, you know, it was just, it's the way how she used to sit me down and say, you are very talented.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our 1 year anniversary here at America Out Loud, and we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our 1 year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do. Include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
I know that you got married, right? At what age did you get married?
Well, I didn't get married until I came over. Yeah, I got married 25 years ago to my husband now. So I've been married to my husband. Yeah, but I did have my first three children with the father of my children outside wedlock. So as you said earlier, life happens.
Yes.
So it was during my last year of my, you know, as you know, back home you have Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, Form 4.
Yes.
So it was the year when I'm doing my O levels that I met the father of my children.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. And of course, I fell pregnant. It's a long story, but it's all in the book. But it wasn't long before I obviously found out that the father of my children was very abusive. Before I knew it, I was actually trapped in a very deeply abusive relationship. Not only did I have one child, I had two, I had three children. So that's when things happened. That's when so many things went very, very wrong during that time.
So I know you laugh now talking about it because it's been years of you dealing with it and now looking back, you know, and seeing how difficult, you know, such a time is. But as you know, right there in the UK, as well as here in the US, in the USA, we have a lot of women right now, as we are talking, that are struggling with that decision to say, how do I leave? And they know they're living in that situation where they're being abused, and they know that they're being abused or feeling trapped. Like you said, you were feeling trapped now because now you're in this relationship and you have children. What can you tell them about gaining the strength on, you know, to get out or to leave in a safe way?
First of all, it's very heartbreaking to actually say these statistics that as we speak now, myself and yourself on this interview, one in four women, as we speak now, is affected by domestic violence. And it's so heartbreaking to know that what happened to me all those years ago is still as real as it was back then in my life. So it's survivor like ourselves that need to continue to keep shouting and talking, because I know what it's like not to know where to go, not to know who do you go to. What I can say to that person who's tuned in right now and you are going through domestic violence, I want to say to you, you are stronger than you think. You have what it takes to actually get up, get hold of somebody. There is help out there. Nowadays, things have moved on. You are stronger than you think. So please find that you on the inside that you can say, I will come out of this. I cry out to that person and I repeat, you are stronger than you think. I say that a few times because during my abusive situation, I felt and believed that this was the end of my life, because mm-hmm. I didn't see the space I was in was so dark. The thing about domestic violence is, at least with the father of my children, my feelings now were that it was about power and control. So I look back now, I think, oh my goodness, how bad was that? I had believed for a long time that I was a failure and I was nothing. These are the words that will ring over and over. Look at you, where will you go? No one will even look at you. You can't even do this. You know, words that are demeaning, that the words that people nowadays, they call it name calling. So when we are talking about domestic violence, in my case, it was emotionally, physically, what's the other one? you understand, there's different kinds of abuse.
Yes.
But it was emotionally, physically. I was trying to articulate the other two extra ones. Mm-hmm. So when you are going through domestic violence, you sort of lose your dignity. So the whole womanhood of who you are, you lose yourself because you don't believe in you anymore. In fact, the abuser or the perpetrator, then it's almost as if they are the ones who control how you go. I remember the father of my children used to say to me, I say when and how and who. You don't do anything without, obviously, himself. That came out when I had my first child, and he was 8 months old. So I went to the clinic for weighing him. And then the nurse set me down and said, "Wow, I've looked at your fingers. You are not married. There is no ring there. So is this person, who is he?" So I told the lady my whole story, what I was going through. And then she said, "Wow, are you taking any contraceptives?" The first time I saw that, and the lady said, "Well, you need to take this every day so you don't get pregnant again." So, of course, I went back home. He asked me, he said, "Oh, how did it go?" I said, "Oh, my, the baby is healthy." But the staff nurse said, "We need to take the, I need to take this every day." My goodness,
boy. That was the mistake.
What?
Yeah.
You did what?
Oh, boy.
He then, on that day, he made it clear who was boss. He said, "I say when and how you have the child." So that's, I will never forget that day, because once again, it was yet another episode of being beaten up of, you know, next time you don't go by yourself to this clinic because you will get up to no good. So the whole point I'm trying to say is your whole womanhood is crushed, and you are in a space where, talk about self-confidence, that's non-existence.
Yeah.
It's not a very nice place to be.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, because this is the reason why we do this show, so that, you know what, the women out there or the men out there, because now domestic violence is not just for the woman. It's also men that are being abused. They are also being talked down to. They're also being controlled. And those are some of the things that you heard Mrs. Jackson talking about, that, you know what, you cannot, you know, allow yourself just to stay in a marriage for the status of being married, when you know that you're not happy and you're being controlled, whether it's emotionally or physically, that you're being abused. And the good thing about it is, if you're, especially those of you that are in the diaspora, there are shelters that you can go to, that you can call, you know, other people, and they can shelter you in a safe way, because you have to make sure that you live in a safe way. Safety is number one, because like she said, you know, you might have one that will really want to take your life just because you said you're leaving. So be careful out there. All right, so you're a parent. I know you're a parent, 7 children, and my condolences, because I also read, I didn't know that about you, that you also lost your beautiful 22-year-old daughter, Patience.
Yes, Patience passed away in a car accident. She wasn't actually by herself. It was 4 girls in the car, and 3 of them died, including obviously my daughter. The kind of sad thing about Pepe's homegoing is that, obviously, as a parent, to any parent who's tuned in out there and you've lost a child, the pain is so real, Dr. Stem.
Yeah.
It's the kind of pain that you can't just carpet, you know, put on the carpet, under the carpet, and you can't even say to this parent, "Oh, you've got other children." No, it's your child, and I wanna, you know, just shout out some love and hugs to any parent out there who've experienced what we've experienced. It took us 10 years, my husband and I, to be able to bring our children to come and be with us. Pepe, amongst the boys, because it was 2 boys, she and her brothers were with their dad and their 2 step parents, of which the stepmom after myself, she didn't survive the abuse. She became blind because it broke in between her eyes and her nose. And blind as she was, he beat her up so bad. One day he beat her up, she went to hospital, she died. So my children witnessed all that. And of course, yes, the boys were affected, but everything affected my daughter more because she was a girl. So it's heartbreaking that after all those 10 years that she went through hardship, she finally is reunited with her mom and her step brothers over here. Pepe was about to, I call her Pepe, Patience was my daughter. She was about to go to university. Now, I wrote the book. She is part of the story. But when she passed away, Dr. Stem, I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to mentor nobody. I didn't want to do nothing. Nothing made sense. I didn't understand how I could come this far now that my children are all here under the same roof. Pepe was becoming a young lady, a beautiful, stunning young lady, and boom, she's gone.
She's gone.
So that was when I say against all odds, I'm still standing against all odds. I survived. The odds are so many because there's someone out there who's tuned in. They're thinking, well, against all odds, she survived. What did she survive? Losing a child wasn't like a small thing for me. In fact, out of all the pain that I've ever been through, losing my daughter was the most painful thing that I've ever experienced. So I just didn't wanna not shout that out because there's someone out there who's tuned in. I wanna say you are not alone. I'm here too, and I know every year when it's your child's birthday, you think of them. When it's Christmas time, Thanksgiving days, there is an empty chair somewhere in somebody's house. So please, parents out there, I'm here and we love you, but God loves you more. God have our children and we'll see them again.
Yeah, thank
So
you.
I felt I needed to say that.
Thank you for sharing that. How much of her memory drives you to do what you do, as a philanthropist?
Oh, wow. What drives me? You know what? When my situation got so bad, I reached rock bottom and I wanted to take my own life. But you know what? It was one woman who I speak about in the book. I call her my spiritual mom. It was one woman who took time out to sit down with me, talk to me about how God loved me, how he had a plan and a purpose for my life, how I was not forgotten. Because she took time out, I am still alive today. God found me in a mess. He took my mess and turned it into a message. Because of that, realizing that as we sit here, we said earlier about a few statistics. The fact that there's somebody out there who's still going through what I went through, I feel it's my responsibility, as I owe it at least to God, to go back to other women and girls who are going through what I went through, rescue them. If it's one girl at a time, Dr. Stem, it's something. If it's two or three, it's something. So that drives me every day. I remember and I say, wow, if not for the grace of God, I would have killed myself. Then who would have been doing what I'm doing? But I've been given that opportunity to fulfill my purpose on earth.
Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
We are talking to Phibke Lepi Jackson, who is the founder of Against All Odds.
Called Against All Odds, Still Standing.
Oh, okay. And then the event that you're doing, that's Dare to Dream, right?
The event, we've called it Dare to Dream, Dare to Fly. Against All Odds, yes. Yeah, that, you know what, just dare to dream. Just do it. Just, even if it's just one thing, just dream it and do it, as long as it's going to impact somebody's life.
So help me out. What, or maybe let me ask it this way. How would your children describe you as a parent in two words?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? My daughter, not done two words. My surviving daughter, Bella Jackson, she's actually done a song which is on iTunes. Oh. It's called Against All Odds, I Survived. You know, I shout out to your listeners. They can try and get hold of this song. It's called Against All Odds, I Survived. My daughter has summed up my story into that song. My children, I believe they say I'm courageous, I'm fearless, I'm determined, and they think mommy is cool, you know.
So, did you ever say to your children, you don't listen? Have you ever said that word, that you don't listen, to any of them?
You know, when they were little.
No, yes or no. Yes or no. Have you ever told them?
They don't listen, I do say that.
There you go.
When they were little, now they're bigger.
See, you didn't listen to me. I wanted two words of description, and here you went with a whole paragraph. So I always have fun with parents that come in and said, you know what, my children don't listen, my daughter doesn't listen. And then I ask a specific question and say it with a specific instruction, just two words I need from you. And they give me a whole, you know, just, okay. I said, so you see, ma'am, you don't listen either.
They say I'm courageous and determined.
There you go. And and two words that you would describe yourself that probably would be different from, you know, from what your children would say. What two words would you say to describe yourself?
Oh, my goodness. Two words. Yeah. Unstoppable and I have to think, there's so many words.
Just one more. Just one more.
Unstoppable and determined.
There you go. There you go. What has been, when you remember, just in a short, description, your happiest memory? What is the happiest memory when you think back?
My happiest memory I believe it's my wedding day.
Your wedding day.
My wedding day, yes, yes.
Awesome. Yeah. How do you think people will remember you?
I think people would remember me when they think about our students, the women and girls that we help.
Yes.
That we support, especially in Malawi. I think people will always remember me because that's where Malawi is one place where we started doing these projects, the work that we are doing. They'll always remember me about Against All Odds. Most of them say, oh, that's the lady who's Against All Odds, Still Standing. Yeah, I think I believe that they will always remember me with the girls, women and girls that we support.
Well, I know definitely, you know, in addition to what you just said, that people will also remember you for being that fearless little girl that came from that little village that didn't even have electricity, that had no city, and probably that couldn't have dreamed or even imagined herself doing what she's doing now, and that is being the voice for the voiceless, which is, you know, and speaking out against domestic violence, and also encouraging and empowering others to say, you know what, yes, you can, as we said, and it's all possible. I have this saying on mine that with God, all things are possible. I think you are an emblem of that, that, you know what, with God, all things are possible. So I just wanted to add that I know that definitely with what you're doing, people will remember you. What do you do in your spare time? Because we see you working and doing all the stuff all the time. You know, what do you do in your spare time? You know, what do you do for fun? What do you do for
what
fun?
What do I do for fun? You know what? I love watching very good, sensible films. Like we've just seen films like, The Hidden Figures.
Okay.
Color Purple. Those kinds of films. And for fun, you know, Pretty Woman.
Yeah,
I love to go out to watch a film. And I like to have big popcorns and just, you know, good, sensible films, you know, good life stories and stuff. That's what I love to do.
Yeah.
But most importantly, I love just to inspire people, to encourage people.
Yeah.
So wherever I am, I just want to be that person that will bring a smile to anyone who's sad. Things like that make me very happy. So,
and what is your greatest fear?
My greatest fear is not, being able to reach the unreachable, not being able to fulfill my purpose. That scares me. I'm thinking, no, I don't wanna take anything out of the, when God calls me back to heaven, I wanna die empty. I don't wanna die thinking you should have gone to Sudan and you didn't go. Why? Excuses. I don't wanna not to fulfill my destiny or my purpose.
I love
that. That scares me.
I love that. I want to die empty. That means I want to do everything that I'm supposed to do, so that by the time that my time comes, I will not have any regrets of not having done anything. Good for you. I like that. And with what is your greatest hope?
Oh, my greatest hope is that Africa, our continent, one day will recognize that every little girl, every little boy deserves to get education. They have, God has a plan and a purpose for their lives. That every little girl should not be a wife or, you know, having children. They should be in school because they are the future leaders. They are the future presidents. Yeah, that's my hope. And I want to be part of that change. I want to be out there getting my hands dirty, saying, come on, come out of the village. Let's go to school. Let's change things. You two matter. That's my hope, that our numbers can double with the help of your listeners, that we can help more, reach more girls, double the numbers of the women and girls that we help. That's my hope.
Yeah. So as I say to the listeners, I will have all the links for you to be able to assist and donate so that more girls can go into school and graduate, just as many as the boys are graduating. What are the two main lessons that you've learned in your life?
Oh, wow.
I told you it was going to be different. Yeah. We want to know you. We want to get to know who is this woman that has this much
important lesson. Well, the first one is that life is a gift.
Yes.
That to me is one big gift. And that too is time. Time is money. It's a lesson to me. It's like every day, put it like we have $24,000 to spend.
Yeah.
The trick is you can't carry it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use it up today. So every day I'm like, if I just use $1,000 of my $20,000, $24,000 Who's lost? It's me. And who else is lost? The person I'm supposed to touch. So time is not all. So I've learned lessons of wasting time with probably in hopeless relationships or toxic people around you. Time, it's a big lesson. Slap your hand. If you've been wasting time out there, please snap out of it. You have 24 hours a day. At the end of that day, look around. What have you done with it? So I've learned my lessons. I don't waste time. So every day I make it count.
Well said, well said. Who is your role model and why? Just in a few words.
Oh my God. Yeah. My role model, to be quite honest with you, of course, Jesus Christ is my first role model, but please allow me to say the second one is my mom. My mom is my role model. Makumalo, I love her. I hope she can tune in and listen. She's my role model. I don't know how she done it, but against all odds, that woman is still standing. She's 87 years old.
Oh, wow.
But I saw her after 19 years.
Wow. She'll be able to listen to this because, you know what, you always have a link for her to listen to this interview. So now I want to have fun with you. Two things.
Aww.
Complete this sentence. Two things I want before I die.
Is to die empty. And not to fulfill my purpose.
I love
to bring hope to people. I love just impacting people's lives and, you know. I love to be that encouragement, that person that just make people happy.
My heart
is, was it to fulfill my destiny, to fulfill purpose?
Okay. Now,
that's so tricky. Yeah.
A serious one. I just have one word and tell me what comes to mind right away. Abuse?
Oh, domestic abuse is just like, you know, that just that word alone, you know, no human being is subject to be beaten or insulted. It's just I just distaste it with every fiber in me. I just, you know.
Thank you for that. The next word is education.
Education. Every child deserves to go to school. Because you know what? Without education, we wouldn't be even doing what we're doing now. We are speaking on this guy because somebody got to learn how to make this thing work online and Skype or you know, it's through education that, you know, the light can come in. You know, without education, it's really, we're not going anywhere. So education is very important.
But let me remind the listeners out there that, you know what, her vision, I guess, or the vision is to reach the brokenhearted globally. It is to see people's lives healed, restored, and to help them discover their true personal purpose. As you heard the founder say it herself, it's to love the unlovable, reach the unreachable, and be the voice of marginalized people. So your donation will help her and the organization to help families who are struggling to have children, to help those, you know, families that are struggling to get into school, to help families that don't have transportation. You should see the bicycles that they bought this year and donated to the village, you know, kids so that they could have transportation, the families so that they could have transportation, the barrels of clothes that they you know, they send out there. So all those donations that you can give and get, even buying a flight ticket for one of the ambassadors that are going there, that's a donation. If you work in the airlines, you might say, you know what, we could get a discount for people to fly to Zambia or to Malawi this year as you go onto the mission and get them a discount. That's a donation. So any which way that you can help to donate and help fund this project and make this Dare to Dream and Dare to Fly a big and eventful event this April, I hope that everyone will turn out. And guess what? I believe that you will be saying that to me. So let's plan on meeting again in April and talk about that event, okay?
Oh my God, Dr. Stem, thank you so much. And I just can see somebody saying, well, I will sponsor Mrs. Jackson to fly to Malawi this year.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be so beautiful? I just received that in advance in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Honestly, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay, so you know what? Her website is actually fikelepijackson.com, but I will have all the links for you. So for those people that are listening in, I know you have a welcome message for them, and we will call it a day. Even when you don't feel like it, get up, dress up, show up, and never ever give up. This is Dr. Stem. Be encouraged and encouraging.